Good morning, everyone. Welcome back to Senate Finance. It doesn't seem like that long ago that we were here. New day, same problems. I tell people there's good news and there's bad news. The bad news is there isn't any good news. I just want to get through some introductions before we get going. First of all, at the table, Senator Machicki, Senator Bishop, Senator Dunleavy, Senator McKinnon, co-chair, Senator Hoffman, and Senator Olson, and myself, Senator Kelly, we're all present. And then we have a number of people in the room that are familiar faces and friends that make this work on a whole bunch of different levels, and I just want to recognize some of them. First of all, starting with Marta. We love Marta. She's been taking care of us for years. Hi, Marta. Laura Pierre, Michael Penn, photographer. He runs around this building. He's been here for since I can remember, and I don't think he gets recognized very much. Hi, Michael. Glad to have you here. I see Daniel McDonald there. Denise. Hi, Denise. How you doing? Donnie Gott. We love her. She always takes care of us as well. Hi, Mike Davis, former representative. You just watching things. Skip Gray, another photographer in the back. Hi, Skip. Good to see you again. There's Liz from Channel 11? 211. Yeah. Hi, Mary. Good to see you. Cameraman for Gavel to Gavel. Becky Bohr, how are you? Commissioner Hoffbeck. Good to see you. Pat, hello. Pat Pitney. Christine from Kevin Meyer's office. New face. What's your name? Ben. Hi, Ben. How are you? Sheila Peterson. Hi, Mike. Trevor. Jessica and Christy from LIO. Kenny, the cameraman from, what channel are you, Kenny? 11. Okay. Laura. From Senate Finance Office, James behind me, James Armstrong, Brett Huber, David Teal. Is anybody here that we just adore and I didn't recognize you? Oh, Tom! Tom, we adore you. Tom, former Representative Tom Rice. I didn't see you back there. Yeah, I know. Anyway, welcome everybody, and over time I'm sure many of you will be sitting in that chair and get introduced, but we appreciate all the work everybody does, and how much of the hard work. Holy cow, there's a lot of stuff that happens in this committee, in this building, and the people that are here are so involved at so many different levels. Like I say, you just got a photographer here that you don't think of maybe a photographer as a person who's intimately involved in the workings of the Capitol, but you know what? Year after year after year, they're here keeping it chronicle, and glad to recognize it. Anyway, Senator Machicki, you had something.
Mr. Chairman, I just wanted to mention that you used the word adore. If we didn't mention you by name, doesn't mean we don't adore you.
Thank you. Good point. And I'm not sure I adore you that much, Tom, but... Okay, so let's get on with some of the business. Did I forget anyone, James? I didn't overlook anybody. So we're going to have an overview of the budget like we always do, and Pat is the person who draws the straw every year to do that. So if you could come up and state your name and affiliation for the record, Pat, and let's get on it.
Thank you for having me. My name is Pat Pitney, the Office of Management and Budget Director for the Office of Governor Walker. Thank you so much for having me. It does seem like a very short time between the last time we were at this table. It's been an exciting summer and fall and winter. I think we've...
Pat, I have to stop. Fruck, didn't get you. Sorry. I think I passed right over you. I didn't see you there. Gavel to gavel cameraman for many years. Go ahead, Pat.
No problem. The summer and fall and winter up through submitting the budget was a pretty busy time for the administration. We had more than 50 presentations to different groups throughout the state, And it was very valuable in hearing what Alaskans had to say, and really providing some information so there was an understanding of what the issues that we are facing as a state. With that, we put forward our new Sustainable Alaska Plan. And the budget, the 17 budget that's represented in Senate Bill 138, 139, and 140, the operating capital and mental health trust bill, provide a lot of the first steps in reaching the new sustainable Alaska plan. And I was asked on the overview to really focus on the 17 spending side of the plan versus going through the whole plan. But the 17 budgets, as they are here, provide the first four components of the new Sustainable Alaska Plan. So in the operating bill, we have the pieces of utilizing the earnings reserve. We have recognition of the dividends. We have reduced spending, and we have priority investments. There's separate legislation that cover the broad-based taxes and credit reform. And we do look forward to discussing the plan in total, and I will touch on a few of the forward-looking things as they apply to the 17 spending level.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Hoffman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Are these listed in order or priority, or are they random?
They are all. There's no priority, nor are they random. They are all components.
Thank you.
They are all necessary to reach a sustainable, long-term, balanced budget. With that, what is our 17 budget? I need to arrange here a little bit. In total, it's $9.5 billion. And of that, half of it is unrestricted general funds. Then we have other state funds, and that's a lot of that. About half of that is a budgetary process where we record expenses in two different places. For instance, if Department of Administration has a recharge rate to a department, not only does the department have either unrestricted funds or federal funds to pay that rate, it also shows up in the other state funds. It also includes things like statutory designated program receipts that are specific to a particular program. Fish and Game has several receipts in there. Another 9% is on designated general funds, and this is largely earned revenue. Earned revenue such as university tuition and fees, marine highway tickets. Both the other state funds and the designated funds are relatively stable year to year. And then the last component, and the largest, one of the larger components, is our federal funds at $3.1 billion. And that's there's two kind of changes in the federal funds this year. One, Department of Transportation federal, it shows a decrease. That isn't a decrease in what we expect to spend, but the way we're requesting the budget, it is a decrease in extra authority that was required in the way we had asked for projects in the past. And then Medicaid federal funding has gone up due to expansion. All other federal funds in that is things like the university is a large component. Corrections has federal funds. Education has federal funds. So pretty much every agency has some federal funds, DEC, Fish and Game. But they're much smaller components than the highway match and the Medicaid amounts. So, and $9.5 billion, if we compared apples to FY16, that would be down from a 10.2 total budget before.
Senator Chickie and then Senator McKinnon.
Ms. Pitney, I may have missed the other state funds, which 7%, only $713 million right now, but what does that box or that piece of the pie represent?
So part of it is interagency receipts. So if a department does service on behalf of another department, the that agency charges an agency. That is actually recorded as a separate budget item. So in a sense, in the total state budget, it counts twice because there's an agency that has paid for it, and then there's the agency that serviced it. So the IT rate to Department of Admin is a good example. So every department, based on the number of employees, pays admin to provide service in the IT area. So let's say for OMB, we're largely unrestricted general funds. So we have a line item in our budget that says unrestricted general funds pays Department of Admin for this service. Within Department of Admin, they have a service component, the IT department, that has their fund source is other, which is this IA receipt that we've paid. They have an expenditure in that other category. So about $40 million in that other category is the expenditures associated with IT. Correction does work on behalf of they do laundry for the Marine Highway System. So the Marine Highway System
follow
pays.
Up, Senator Michicki.
Just quick follow-up on the total spend of 9.5. Mm-hmm. It's actually something less because of the accounting that the state uses.
Right. That is the total budget. If you look at, if you then compare this to a financial statement, it's different.
Can we get what the actual spend is once you remove those double charges for allocation?
It's roughly half of that other state. So 370, 350, 370. But yes, we can get that for sure.
Senator McKinnon.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Two questions. Welcome to finance. Director Pitney, has the administration done an analysis of our federal dollars and the GF match that's required? And I'd like you to put a lens over the top of that in looking at program creep. I'm the former executive director, and when things get tight, sometimes programs are tempted to creep their programs out in an effort to chase money. And so if I notice that federal receipts may be going up. So what is the administration doing to analyze how we're bringing in those federal dollars, and then what are the requirements that are attached to them? Have you done any kind of comprehensive analysis on that?
We do a lens on each federal request, and it's, you know, what is the long-term implications of receiving this money? For instance, if we have a match today, does the match go up? And it doesn't mean that we wouldn't ask for the funding. We consciously want to know. If we accept this money and it's federal money, and that federal money goes away, do we have the ability to reduce the positions that are associated, the positions and the costs associated with that federal program? So are we, if we accept it now, are we then obligated in this, for a state perspective, to keep the program going in the future? Another aspect is, to what degree is this mission critical? Is it important to the state? A fourth component would be, how does this federal funding help our economy, and Is it something that we, you know, is the service important to the state, and does it help the economy? And for the most part, we are interested in bolstering the economy, and to the degree we can do that with federal funds, that is okay. So it doesn't say whether we would not take federal funds on any of these filters. We just need the answer on each filter.
I'll let the conversation go for today, Ms. Pitney. What I'm trying to understand is the additional requirements inside of state government to evaluate how we're going forward with this money. The second question is, this budget assumes passage of every component of what the governor has proposed versus suggesting changes through bills. This is all incorporated in the budget that you're presenting to us today?
So the budget incorporates everything that's in Senate Bill 138, Senate Bill 139, Senate Bill 140. So the three budget bills, capital, operating, and mental health trust. And it assumes, it doesn't assume the oil and gas tax credit reform at the 9.5. That would be an additional $1.2 billion. It doesn't assume the revenue bills. Each of those are coming in separately. So all of the broad-based tax bills are coming in separately. If the broad-based revenue or tax bills go through, the draw on savings for the unrestricted general funds would be just under $500 million this year. By 2019, under the plan, there would be no draw on savings except for what is a sustainable draw on the interest earned from any available savings. So I guess in short answer, no. It assumes a budget, and there are separate pieces of legislation that carry the revenue bills. It does assume the Permanent Fund Protection Act, and that's incorporated within the appropriation bill, because much of the components of the Permanent Fund Protection Act require appropriation language.
Senator McKinnon.
Mr. Chairman, communication this session is going to be extremely important, and I know that you've talked to the committee about we want to make sure that we are very clear with what we're doing. And my concern is that some assumptions are embedded in the budget that you're starting to present to us, and some of them require policy changes. And so as the press, as the media moves this out, it may be confusing to the general public. I wasn't around when the price per barrel of oil was at $9. I don't know if this is a standard way to move forward. The capping of the permanent fund dividend appears to be embedded in this budget, at least under the numbers section, but requires a huge policy discussion. And so if there are differences, if you could point them out for clarity as you go through, of what is making an assumption that the legislature agrees with your proposal, and then what doesn't, and the consistency therein of each of those pieces would be helpful for me. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Good.
Senator Dunleavy.
Thank you, through the chair. Ms. Pitney, is it the policy of the administration to accept as much federal money as they possibly can? Yes, right. No?
No.
Okay. Thank you, Senator Dunleavy. Go ahead, Ms. Pitney.
So I guess here is a good example of the pieces within the budget that also will require a policy change. So this is a...
Ms. Pitney, Senator Machicki, go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Pat, that Senator Dunleavy touches on an important question. In some cases, we do go after federal funds that increase our state spend. That's clear. How do we apply a formula on where that's best for our state and where it adds to a program or service that is not constitutionally required, or perhaps adds added value in the past for a service that we simply can't afford today. Is that an exercise that the administration has gone through?
It is an exercise for each program that comes up that has the opportunity for federal funds that the administration goes through in its evaluation. And there's a determination whether it's a prudent thing to go forward with it or to not go forward with it.
One follow-up.
Senator Machiki?
Is that a formal process? Is that something that you can sort of share just as we work together as a team on reducing spend here for services that are not critical in that little blue book we call the Constitution? Is that a formal process that you can share with us so that we perhaps don't double up on our efforts?
It is a agency by agency process, and it is focused on those things that are changing year to year. So does it go to the 1,000 grants that exist, say, at the university, and a formal process there? No. But it is, for instance, Department of Environmental Conservation has a supplemental request for a $250 million grant for federal grant. And so the question there was, does it require match? Are there strings attached? What service does it provide? Is this a prudent, is it prudent for us to accept that? But that is also something that then comes forward to the legislature.
I'm going to take a real quick at ease here. Welcome back, everyone. Ms. Pitney, I go ahead. I want to ask you a couple questions down the line a little bit, but go ahead and finish up your thought and where you are in the presentation.
So I misspoke on the other state funds. This is without the duplication. So essentially, it's double that number when you have the. So this is reducing that duplication in this particular report. So, and it does compare to 10.2 in the last year. And I want to recognize Kelly O'Sullivan, who's my able staff person, who's been fabulous and brought that to my attention that, yes, others does include that. It just doesn't include it in that particular layout.
Senator Bishop, do you have something?
Mr. Chairman, thank you. So, Pat, I want to get clear on this.
Mm-hmm.
So the other funds are counted twice or are not counted twice?
This adjusts for the duplication. So this is not including the interagency receipts and the CIP receipts, which are duplicated funds.
Okay.
So other funds at 713 is real money, not the double counting.
Okay. Well, I'll follow up later. Thanks.
Senator Dunleavy?
I was just going to ask, is it double counter? I mean, is it double counter or not?
No.
Thank you.
Okay. Senator McKinnon? That was the question. Okay. Go ahead, Ms. Petty.
Okay. Moving on, so based on Senator McKinnon's request to point out where the appropriations bill assume policy changes, this graph is a good depiction. So this is a trend graph from 15 to 17 on the different funding types. So we have unrestricted general funds reductions from the blue bar on the left from 15, 16 is the red bar, and then the green bar. So you can see unrestricted general funds, designated general funds, other state, permanent fund, and federal. You can see the fast drop in the unrestricted general funds, both designated general funds and other state funds are fairly flat. Where we see the big change in the 17 budget is on the permanent fund earnings reserve. And the arrow is the is noting that of that roughly $3.9 million in permanent fund earnings reserve, the budget represents $3.2 million going to the general fund using the Permanent Fund Protection Act, and $700 million going towards dividend checks.
You know, Pat, we don't use, you don't need to understand differential equations to understand budgets. They are not necessarily complicated math, but they can be fairly complicated documents because there's so much to them. And we just saw what happened over the discussion about double counting. I'm a little concerned, and I think we maybe threw some criticism your way last year when you assumed Medicaid expansion in your budget, and we warned you that that was a much larger policy call, and it was appropriate, I think, and the legislature still do. That's in the courts now. Mm-hmm. And much of what you have put in this budget to have it balance is our assumptions that are huge policy calls. And as Joe and Sally Alaska look over our shoulders at the budget that we are putting together, I think it's important to make it as simple as possible, or to at least assure them that these policy calls are not fait accompli. They have a long way to go. This budget that we are doing, this is our time now, and this is, by the way, this is not a criticism of you at all. It's just, I think, something that the press doesn't ever pick up on, is that you have put your budget together behind closed doors. Nothing sinister there. That's the way you guys do it. We have to do it out in the open here with the look at these photographers and cameras and everything like that, gallery full of people. And I think it's important that Joe and Sally Alaska understand that because these taxes and revenue measures are built into your budget, they are not necessarily the way things are going to go. That is a larger policy debate and discussion and conversation that has to go on between their elected representatives, and it will happen out here in the open. So I thought that was I think that's just an important point to make. And I would encourage you, as you have more budgets that you're going to be doing over the years, to be careful on that. The assumptions that you put in confuse things. And this is going to be a confusing budget. I don't need you to respond to that. I just want to make sure that people understand that. Go ahead.
I do think it's important to note that...
You're responding.
I do. I am responding. I think it is... note taken, but it is important to say that all of the legislation has been submitted. So unlike last year when there was not a Medicaid expansion legislation, the Permanent Fund Protection Act is out in the open. The tax measures are out in the open. The plan was discussed.
Do we have those yet?
Yes.
Did we get those? Oh, okay.
Yes.
I thought we
had. All of the legislation associated with the budget bill is here, and the budget bill only, because of the appropriation language required in the Permanent Fund Protection Act, the Permanent Fund Protection Act is represented within the budget appropriation document.
I think you shouldn't be surprised, as maybe some of those are pulled out of the budget to simplify the process over time. Go ahead with your presentation.
So narrowing from this graph with all fund sources down to the unrestricted general fund sources, you can see a continuous reduction in unrestricted general funds down to 4.8 million in the unrestricted general funds this year in this budget. The use of those funds, if you look at agency non-formula and formula programs, that's the lion's share of the budget at over 83%. On the formula side, you have education formula and Medicaid, education about 26%, Medicaid and other health formula 16%. And I think it was important to note the education formula programs, or not the education formula, but health and social services formula programs. There's foster care, there's subsidized adoption, there's temporary assistance, there's adult public assistance, senior benefit payments, permanent fund dividend holds harmless provision, and then, of course, Medicaid. Medicaid is the largest component of these, accounts for about 650 of that $760 million, but there are several other programs in the health area besides Medicaid.
Thank you, Ms. Pitney. Senator Machicki, did you have a question followed by Senator Hoffman?
No, ma'am.
Senator Hoffman.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Can we go back to slide number 5 of the how much of these unrestricted general funds are coming from or anticipated to come from the Constitutional Budget Reserve?
Based on implementation of the Permanent Fund Protection Act, $427,000.
How much is the permanent fund? What is the draw from the CBR?
The draw from the CBR for fiscal year 16 is in the area of $3.5 billion.
In 17.
And in 17, the draw from the from savings is anticipated at $426 million.
Senator Hoffman, follow up.
So we have $426 million, and we're anticipating that's fine. Thank you.
Thank you. Director Pitney, did you have anything else to share with the committee on slide 6, your budget undesignated general fund by category?
Only that the statewide appropriations includes things like debt, retirement, and tax credits. And this assumes $73 million for tax credits. And you see the note below. The plan put forward by the administration has put forward a oil and gas tax credit reform. We anticipate honoring all oil and gas tax credit reform, honoring all earned credits prior to that are earned by the time the current program is closed. Together, those would be an additional $1.2 million. And then going forward on oil and gas tax credits, we'd come down from $600 to $700 million to a steady state of about $100 million annually over time. And so the statewide appropriations only include $73 million for oil and gas tax credits.
Senator McKinnon, then Senator Bishop.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Director Pitney, it's $1.2 billion in the proposal for the tax credit fund. Is that accurate?
Yes, did I say million?
I'm not sure if you said it or I just heard it wrong.
$1.2 billion, yes.
Right, $1.2 billion. And that, again, this would be something that is included in your operating budget because you've reduced the availability of funds down to, I believe you said, $73 million for tax credits, but we anticipate $600 and $700 million of applications coming in requesting those credits?
Correct, but relative, through the chair, Senator McKinnon, the existing tax credit statute has a minimum required based on 10% of production tax, and that minimum required is 73, and so that is what is included in the budget. We wanted to make sure that it was noted that it's the intent of the administration to honor all earned tax credits, but based going forward with unacceptable reform measures.
Senator McKinnon.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Director Pitney, I just was trying to point out that this is one of those policies that may be consistent with Alaska State statute, but is dependent upon a policy being implemented by the legislature to actually accomplish your intended benefit.
Through the chair, Senator McKinnon, yes, that's correct.
Senator Bishop, oh, no, never mind. Go ahead, Ms. Pitney. Go ahead.
So actually, I want to point out, too, on the capital budget, it's, a very constrained capital budget at $195 million. This capital budget just focuses on the federal match components for transportation and water and sewer, minor amount in maintenance and a few schools, and we'll go into more on the capital, but it is a very small capital budget. And going forward, our plan includes provisions for a general obligation bond that we would entertain conversations with this group before introducing such a general obligation bond. Okay, narrowing down to just the agency operating budgets, this is kind of a new layout, but I think it's an important layout for a policy discussion. You have one category we're looking at is health, life safety, justice. This includes HESS and corrections, public defenders, public advocacy, the criminal division, and the judiciary area. This particular area, when we're talking about the criminal justice reform, has area for savings. Since 2015, collectively these agencies have come down almost 10%, and they account currently for 44% of the budget. Looking at all other executive, you can look at those as somewhat general government. This is the governor's office, administration, commerce, DNR. These agencies have been reduced by 27% since fiscal year 15, so significant reductions. Then education, looking at education larger than just K-12. This is K-12, Department of Education, the university, and AvTech.
Senator Michicki, did you have a question or comment?
I have a comment. I'm going to say it as positively as possible because I like Pat very much. But this particular slide is laced with selective spin. in a way that I think is dangerous in our budgeting process. It suggests that education has been cut 8.5%. It suggests that HESS has been cut by 9.8%. And there have been, just knowing the budget well enough to what was dragged into those pieces, I don't think it's an effective way to look at the budget. I think it's an unrealistic way to look at the budget. And I understand why you did it. I think there have been some real cuts. This slide seems to want to illustrate that cuts have been made in particular areas that simply haven't occurred. And it I don't want to use the word disingenuous dishonorably, but I think it's an unfair slide.
Through the chair, Senator Machicki, it is a forward-looking slide when we're looking at major, administratively, when we're looking at criminal justice reform, when we're looking at Medicaid reform, when we're looking at doing general government more efficiently, and when we're looking at holding our capacity in education going forward. It's looking at those areas in a holistic way. So the next few slides have exactly what the K-12 has been reduced, exactly what HESS has been reduced. And they're not substantially different, actually, than these percentages.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, the forward-looking piece I'm fine with. I probably would have left the 27% since FY15, 8.5% since FY15. I would have left the bottom line off of the three primary drivers. And then I would have appreciated the grouping a bit more. I think the part that's tough is that as we try to communicate with Alaskans with actual cuts, we think there are room in some areas. This groups the areas strangely to give the impression that in the primary drivers we've enjoyed cuts that, shouldn't use the word enjoyed, that we've realized cuts that, particularly in the two primary drivers in our budget, we've not realized. And I think that's my point. I'll leave it at that. I don't need to belabor that point, but this slide is confusing.
Point taken, Senator McKinnon. Pat, let's just move on.
I think you meant Machicki.
What did I say?
So,
sorry. Machicki.
are we moving on?
Go ahead.
So our goal is, as an administration going forward, is to continue to reduce spending, and this fiscal year budget has reduced spending in the agency operating. Oftentimes we talk about, you know, overall reductions. When we talk about reducing government spending, more times than not, talking very specifically about agency operating reductions. We're looking at this as a multi-year approach. This particular reduction is a net $100 million reduction. It's 140 plus a few a few priority initiatives that were increases. So we have a net reduction in agency operatings of $100 million. We are asking every agency to be involved. Up to today, every agency has been involved. We are working on efficiency initiatives. We have 11 identified. Of those, four are moving forward, and we have not realized all of the savings we hope to get. These are longer-term efforts. We say maximize efficiency to do more with less. The reality is we're going to end up doing less with less. But what we continue to do, we need to do most efficiently and do it at a cost rate that's less than what we're currently.
Senator McKinnon.
We will do less for less.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Director Pitney, less with less raises the question. To recognize what Senator Machicki just said. Are we doing less with less, or have we instead transferred the spend over to the federal column and are still doing the same? Can you provide the legislature a list of where you've taken federal money and are doing similar things, the same things, and you're showing those as a reduction in general fund ask? Because when you say that the administration and the budget before us suggests that you're continuing to reduce spending by $100 million, I'm not completely sure whether that's an accurate statement. We have an increase, as I understand it, specifically in the health and social services, of more money coming in from the federal government, absolutely through the expansion of Medicaid, which the governor did by executive order. So can you provide the Senate a list of that new federal money coming in and how it's offset the general fund, or whether there's actual reductions in program loss inside of any of the agencies?
Through the chair, Senator McKinnon, we can provide some of those offsets. I'll be more specific. We reduced the unrestricted general fund spend by $140 million. We added roughly $40 million in priority initiatives in this budget. To the degree that we could offset using federal money or other money to preserve, maintain service delivery to the maximum extent possible, we tried to exercise that in this budget.
Senator McKinnon.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Director Pitney, I am going to do everything I can to make the best decisions financially for the people of Alaska and communicate in a very respectful way the issues that Alaska faces. But I find it difficult when the administration sits on the first day in front of finance with an operating budget that actually has increases in it, and there are good programs that you're making a suggestion to increase for our consideration, and then on the slide continue to reduce spending, but a majority of that spend I'd like to see how we're really reducing things. I'm not sure we're reducing state government. We've just moved the shell. We've moved the money around, absolutely for good reasons that the administration can articulate, I'm sure, but it hasn't really reduced spending overall in the state's budget. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Go ahead, Senator Hoffman.
Thank you, Mrs. Chairman. Ken, you provide me with a detailed analysis of where the $40 million add back of priorities for this administration are at a later time.
Through the chair, Senator Hoffman, yes, it's further on in this presentation, actually.
Okay. Thank you.
So, and a point of clarification there. Never mind. So there have been reduced services. There is in no way a majority of reduced costs offset. There are minor costs offset. Medicaid expansion was a significant ability for the state to use federal money for services priorly funded or earlier funded by state money, and that was an important and conscious decision by this administration.
Senator Dunleavy,
just to follow up on that, finish up. So, would you be able to provide us with the actual? State money we've saved, and in what manner through that federal money that came through the Medicaid expansion as of today, this date?
So through the chair, Senator Dunleavy, yes, we can.
And we have saved money?
Through the chair, Senator Dunleavy, yes, we have.
Okay, thank you.
Here's the budget. Some of the budget guidance we gave to departments. In addition to this budget guidance,
we started in the budget process with a recognition of how many reductions the agency had already taken before we set a target. But these were the questions that we focused on when we were asking about each department putting together their budget. And, you know, is it a constitutional mandate? Is it a legislative mandate? How much is the how utilized is the service? What is the impact on the state economy? All of these were important questions. So coming down to the reductions that have been made, today we are paying 600 fewer permanent full-time employees within state agencies and the legislature. That's not too many accounted for in the legislature, but 600 fewer employees. That was people employed in state agencies last year, had butts in seats, people being paid as permanent full-time and part-time employees last year. They're no longer being paid this year. This is a true reduction in workforce.
Senator Hoffman?
On that point, is that reduction in FY 17, or are you talking about last year and there were 600 fewer state employees in FY 16?
This is comparing number of permanent employees in December of last year to number of employees when we did this count in November.
So it's not, we can't get a comparison on by fiscal year what's happening.
So by fiscal year, I mean, it depends on, by fiscal year we have budgeted positions today are 800 fewer than in fiscal year 15.
So we're getting a review of FY17's budget. My question, I guess, is comparing FY16 to FY17, how many fewer state employees are you proposing in the 17 budget?
We're proposing an additional 185 position reductions.
Actual positions that are being eliminated with people that are occupying them in 16.
Yeah, and this is the thing. You have I look at positions in multiple ways because people get bound up about vacancy factors. So we look at actual employees, and the actual employees is a reduction in workforce. I look at budgeted positions over time, and we have some additional slides here. We have budgeted positions over time. Then we look at Alaska Department of Labor, and Alaska Department of Labor has every month follows state employees in a very holistic manner, and this is the number of individuals who get a check. So this is 600, and this is narrowed to state government, not including the university and, say, the railroad. If you look at Department of Workforce and Labor Statistics, you could say from fiscal year 15 to fiscal year 16, you can't say. It is from December fiscal year 15 to December fiscal year 16, we're paying 1,400 fewer individuals. That includes temporaries and all state employees, including the university. This is just narrowed down to permanent employees in there.
That 600 is comparing which years? You said it's just permanent, and it's which year?
It's last December to today, essentially.
Calendar year. And if I might continue, Mr. Chairman, if you're saying that in FY16 to FY17 there is a reduction of 140 positions, how many of those 140 positions are funded by general funds?
We'll get the exact data. It's closer to 180, and I would say in that over 170 are funded by general funds.
And thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Senator Dunleavy?
Just to follow up through the chair, so the 600, once again, is the assumption that they are one FTE, or are these
five FTE. Is the assumption that the 600 is a full-time equivalent state employee?
The actual data is 626 fewer full-time permanent employees and like eight more permanent part-time employees. So well over 600 full-time equivalents.
Thank you.
Go ahead, Pat.
Okay. So we're going to skip through these.
Take a brief at ease. All set? Go ahead, Pat. We paused there to kind of figure out the timing on this. So you said you could probably have this by 11:30. I think some of the members have some meetings to go to at 11:30. So let's keep rolling.
So Senator Dunleavy had asked about the Medicaid savings. So in fiscal year 16, you have and the Medicaid component, there's a $57.9 million reduction. That isn't necessarily due to Medicaid expansion. That is reductions due to some provisions of expansion, but also other reform efforts. The non-Medicaid service components, the $4.4 million, those are state savings. Those are costs that we were paying as a state that are now, because of Medicaid expansion, picked up by that. And that's where in corrections, where a prisoner stays in a health care facility more than 24 hours, they're Medicaid eligible. We used to pay that 100% state funding. This is in behavioral health areas. We've been able to reduce our behavioral health grants because now Medicaid covers those patient costs that were not previously funded. And this also is, we had a catastrophic insurance program, and all but two individuals that were prior funded 100% for state funding in the, it's called a CAMI, in that CAMI program are now funded by Medicaid. So there is true and direct state budgetary savings due to Medicaid, and reform that is enabled by Medicaid expansion is helping us get
the remaining savings. And in total, we anticipate the true savings associated with Medicaid expansion to be $106 million.
So. Senator McKinnon.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. It brings to mind when I go shopping, and my husband says, "How much do you spend?" And I said, "Oh, I saved $200." And he said, "But how much did you put on the credit card or spend?" And I say, "Oh, I spent $200 to save $200." So I have, I'm just going to take a point of privilege, Mr. Chairman, just to say, did we save money or did we just bring additional money into the state that is going to require us to pay more money of general funds? So which is it? Did we really save? Did I not go to the store and buy something new and just saved some money? Or did I actually receive money and not spend that same money somewhere else?
Through the chair, Senator McKinnon, we saved money. We are spending less state money for the Medicaid programs, less state unrestricted general funds for Medicaid programs and other programs today than we were at this time last year due to Medicaid expansion.
Mr. Chairman, I've heard that tap dance, and did we spend federal money, new federal money coming into the state to provide new services? Did we get a new dress? And I don't mean the dress being flipped. Did we provide a service to someone who wasn't receiving it before, and now we're spending federal money to provide that service?
Through the chair, Senator McKinnon, we're doing two things. There are people who did not have health care before who now have health care through federal funding. We also have enhanced funding in the economy due to that federal funding. More money in our economy by bringing in Medicaid expansion. Secondly, there were people who the state was paying for 100% of their care. Now the federal government is paying for 100% of their care. That is a true savings.
Mr. Chairman, I'm not going to belabor it anymore. Thank you.
Okay. Go ahead, Ms. Whitney.
So moving on to K-12 funding. So the unrestricted general fund K-12 formula accounts for 26% of our general fund. I know this is an important topic to this particular group. The K-12 formula, this money goes out to communities, doesn't count like boarding schools and special schools, is $1.2 billion. The base student allocation set in statute 14-17, 470. In 15 was $5,830. And 17 is $5,930. This budget honors that base student allocation amount. There is projected to be 118,000 students in the K-12 system this year. The school trust fund there is an increased amount from the school trust fund that allowed the K-12 level of funding from the unrestricted general fund to be level. Now the school trust fund is designated general funds or other state funds, but that increase in the school trust funds from $13 million last year to $30 million this year left the unrestricted general fund level for K-12 funding the same. But this is an offset that Senator McKinnon has noted that allows for the increase to meet the increased base student allocation at the same unrestricted general fund.
Pat, going back to the back and forth that you were having with Senator Michicki earlier on, did you claim that there was a reduction in state funding for education? In your earlier slide, I can't remember.
So in the group of education, here are the three components of that group. So education and early childhood development, which includes the K-12 formula
and also includes many education grants, is $116 million below the 2015 appropriation level. Now, that $116 million is not a true, that's not a true reduction in education spending, because in that $1.4 million that was in 15 included one-time funding. Now, all of that one-time funding for 16 and 17 was reduced. So it's about a $40 million, there's $40 million less in this year's budget than had we not taken any action on education funding last year. But in terms of budget report to budget report, the appropriation for education and early childhood development this year is 116 less than it was in 2015.
I'm pretty good at ease. Senator Dunleavy.
Chair, Pat, is the 118,459 students, is that less students than last year or more?
Through the chair, Senator Dunleavy, it's less.
You know by how much?
The 14-15 estimate was roughly 10,000 more.
So we've lost 10,000 students.
Yeah, and these are estimates. These are, you know, fall estimates, so we'd have to, you know, loop back to Department of Education and get the, you know, the true up numbers, but it was about 10,000.
I would double check on that, but you do believe it's less?
Yeah. Yes.
Thank you.
Chairman. Senator Hoffman.
Can you provide my office with those numbers by school district? Comparison.
Chair, absolutely, yeah. Yes.
We'll roll on this, Pat, but this is going to take a lot more, I think, investigation, because I want to make sure we agree on those numbers about what an education cut is, because there's never been an education cut since I've been in this building. I mean, there's been student numbers that are different, but
the main reduction was one-time funding that was provided as part of that FY15 appropriation.
Okay. Senator McKinnon.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Back to slide 12. You were talking about utilizing assets that are rolling off from the school trust fund. And I believe, Director Pitney, you stated that last year in FY16, I believe you're referring to, we took a draw of $17 million from that fund. Is that correct?
In my mind, it was 13, but it might have been 17.
No, I'm sure I got it wrong.
I believe it was 13, and this year that draw is 30.
Thank you. I corrected my notes. I've only had a high-level briefing to look at these numbers. So you're using one-time funding. Have you cleaned out the balance, and now we can think of this as one-time funding? And so next year, as the administration is supporting funding an increase, we're going to get hit twice next year because we don't have a revenue source that you are using this year to fund this increase again.
Through the chair, Senator McKinnon, this is another piece of legislation. So there was a conservative investment earnings assumption and statute associated with school trust fund. And this is consistent with a change in that to make it more consistent, the school trust fund investment earnings to be more consistent with the power cost equalization fund average annual investment earnings and an appropriate draw.
Senator McCain.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Director Pitney, did you then regulatorily change the calculation, or is there some structure that the legislature will be made of to understand how you're calculating a draw from a fund? Is that statutorily a privilege that you're taking and going to pursue that with the legislature, or is it something regulatorily that you've done to manage that? Because I've asked about this fund last year and why we were drawing the $13 million off of it and what formula I could use to project that off into the futures.
Through the chair, Senator McKinnon, both. One, there's a available balance in the account and earnings in the account, and then number two, we've also put forward legislation to change the earnings estimate assumptions.
Mr. Chairman, lastly, it's a yes or no. Does the $30 million draw in the FY17 budget take a majority of the funds that are sitting in the earnings reserve spot? Is it everything's being consumed, or most everything?
Through the chair, Senator McKinnon, most everything.
Thank you.
Just a quick one.
Question? Senator Machicki.
Thank you. Pat, on page 16, you refer to AS 1417-470 as though the increase is required under that statute. Could you double-check that for me and get – I don't see it. I don't see it in the 2015 supplement. I could be missing something. I don't think I am.
Yep. They were the prescribed amounts when that was passed.
Thank you.
Okay, sure.
Okay, a little bit more on positions. This is budgeted positions from fiscal year 08 to fiscal year 17. Our fiscal year 17 budgeted positions are fewer than in fiscal year 08. That's while state population has gone up by 9%. This is looking at actual state employment, and state employment from fiscal year 08 to fiscal year 16 are within small change of each other. So not only have positions dropped to FY08 levels, so have state employee counts dropped to FY08 level. This is, again, people receiving a paycheck on the state employees. So from its peak, significant reduction in workforce from the peak, and really our state employee base is back to 2008 levels. This is reductions by each department. This does not include the increase in the gas line investment, which I'll get to next, and it does normalize the governor's reduction for a change we've made, moving elections, which is an every other year bump up in the operating budget. To normalize that, we have proposed to fund elections through the capital budget and leave a capital project account open across the time, and to not have the jumps every other year due to this every other year cost to run an election.
Pat, do you think you're going to be able to get done by 11:30?
In real dollars, real and population-adjusted dollars, in 17 we're back to about the 2010 level. By 19 we'll be back to the 2008 level in terms of real costs. So again, reduction. Here are our limited priorities that we've put in. So we have the gas line, the Department of Revenue, and Department of Revenue, or Department of Natural Resources, Department of Revenue, and Department of Law, continuation through FY17. We came during special session and requested $13 million for fiscal year 16 operations. This is $38 million is for the rest of, or for all of 17, which would be pre-feed and and fees to go into it. So this assumes success at $38 million. The other priority investment is DMVA's rural engagement, and this is a step towards getting a higher presence of it's not National Guard, but it's getting communities introduced and getting some people into battalions that are state-oriented to help with emergencies, to help with issues in the community that would lead to more involvement in the National Guard over time. And this program is starting in Bethel. A non-general fund component that is a priority is bringing more in-house financial experts. Right now, we send a lot of our money to be managed externally through permanent fund receipts and through revenue receipts. We would like to bring those, instead of spending two or three times the amount for outside financial experts, we want to build additional expertise in our financial capacity. The Permanent Fund Protection Act requires a large dependence on managing our existing wealth. And having those people in-house, number one, reduces the fees that we're sending out and builds capacity in the state. So those are the three priority investments that you'll be hearing about in the subcommittees and going forward. On the statewide obligations, we've covered the oil and gas tax credits. We have debt under the current assumption is $218 million. Our plan calls for investment in the gas line. These are future use of geo bonding for our normal capital budget and moving to financing our actuarially required contribution on our pension. The actuarially required contribution is a 25-year scheduled every year cost for the state to cover our past service liability. We would like to finance that. The reason we want to finance that is the earnings on our assets at this point in time are higher than our cost of debt. Now, as the markets change, our ability to finance becomes less. And also, as our credit rating drops, our ability to finance is less. But we're still in a position where financing makes sense, given that the Permanent Fund Protection Act relies on investment of our wealth long term. And we earn more with that investment than it costs for debt. Revenue sharing is another major component. We've introduced in this legislation $35 million, this essentially a supplemental into FY16 for a $50 million payout to communities with a plan forward to go to $60
million. On that point, Madam Chairman, can you state that again? Why are we dealing with supplementals funding? And do those numbers actually, are they actually reflected in your overall FY17 budget?
They are reflected in the appropriation bill, but not in the fiscal year 17 budget as shows in the FY16 supplemental.
So can you say that if the supplemental does not pass, then revenue sharing, how does that impact revenue sharing?
This particular item is included in Senate Bill 139, which is the FY17 operating budget.
Again, for because the revenue sharing program for communities throughout the state is heavily relied upon, so I need to understand this fully. For FY17, are the anticipated revenues to pay for that program included in FY17 revenue forecasts, expenditures?
Through the chair, Senator Hoffman, yes.
Right. included in the budget.
Senator Hoffman, yes, it is included in the budget.
Maybe we can get that. I'd like to meet with you to get a further clarification so I completely understand how the revenue sharing program is proposed in the supplemental and in the operating budget and the planned increases. Even though I am a strong supporter of the revenue sharing program, somehow that program has to be modified downward if we are going to be able to afford it. And I still don't know if we can truly afford that program, but I looked at that program extensively this summer, and I believe that we need to, as a state, modify the program and not look at increasing the program back up to the $60 million, because it is unaffordable in my view.
Thank you, Senator Hoffman. Don't ever call me Madam Chair again.
Mr. Chairman,
Senator Chickie, oh, go ahead.
Mr. Chairman, I just wanted to clarify for the OMB director, at least the budget that's been presented in FY17 still needs $80 million of appropriation to distribute in the FY17 budget, at least according to our legislative finance and their what we understand has been presented by the administration to be able to distribute $60 million in FY18. So, again, if we could get clarification for Senator Hoffman's question and possibly work with our legislative finance so that we understand where the administration believes that $80 million is located.
Senator Machicki.
Mr. Chairman, obviously we're not going to get through by 11:30, but I just have one question. Just back to slide 20. It would be helpful for Alaskans if there were an additional overlay on this slide that I understand the real dollar adjustment. If you also applied an overlay of revenue in real dollars, the services that we were able to provide in 08 and 09 were at much higher levels of revenue. I mean, so although we have a success story about a 35% reduction in general fund spending since 13, we've had a significant reduction in revenue. And that's the problem in a nutshell. And I think overlaying that on this slide would help people understand that it's not just a 35% reduction in revenue or in spending that we're dealing with, UGF spending. We also have a huge reduction in revenue that has to be accounted for as well. It'd be a helpful slide. I think it'd show a more accurate picture of the problem we're facing.
Through the chair, Senator Machicki, that's a good advice.
Okay. Thanks, Pat. Can we wrap it up now?
Yeah, since in the interest of time, we will skip the two. There were two capital budget slides. Again, $195 million in capital requests. We'll, I'm sure, have another capital overview and cover it at that time. And then the Permanent Fund Protection Act talks about the appropriation language within Senate bill, the appropriations bill that apply. And again, for the interest of time, we will do that when we discuss the overall plan. That.
Senator McCann.
Mr. Chairman, as late as today, you and I discussed last year's $30 million unallocated reduction in the budget. And as I understand it, my office has communicated, as well as other offices, requesting the administration provide the legislature a detailed report of how the administration has implemented the unallocated reduction in last year's budget. I thought that it was going to happen today. I don't see it, and maybe we passed over it. So if we could get a quick briefing or for a later date, Mr. Chairman, I know we discussed it.
Fine.
Through the chair, Senator McKinnon, I did include it. It was in the information packet that given the time we didn't get to the information packet, there was a presentation packet and then an information packet. And starting on page 6 of the information packet, it's the big page number 6.
This thing?
This one?
No.
This page, not got the it. Big page, but the page number, the large 6.
Here.
So the highlighted column shows the distribution of the $30 million. And you can see the judiciary and legislative, there was no distribution of that allocated reduction to judiciary or the legislature. It was allocated within the executive branch. So the column on the far right side shows which agencies took a larger proportional share of the unallocated reduction. Administration took 200,000 more than what their original costs were. Corrections took 1.4 million more. And the reason we applied allocated 1.4 million more to corrections than their salary side was because of the savings that we could exact from Medicaid expansion. Health and Human Services is a similar one. So there was an allocation of the salaries, and then the additional pages starting on page 7. To page 16 show exactly how those unallocated reductions were taken. That is, all of those reductions are base reductions to the agencies. In addition, the FY17 budget has the second base reduction for that $30 million. We're waiting for the outcome of the contract negotiations on the salaries to see if we can adjust any of those unallocated reductions, and otherwise they're at the agency level. So for one base increase, we've taken a base decrease in FY16 and been directed to take a base decrease in by the co-chairs of finance to take a base decrease in 17. So the base decrease for this $30 million is also included in the 17. A second base decrease is included in the FY17 budget.
Mr. Chairman, thank you. We got this presentation, as far as I know, this morning. So we didn't have time to go through the backup documents. We were trying to run through the presentation. So we'll go through those, and if we have further questions, we'll ask. Ms. Pitney, you also indicated you were transferring. Seems like we're saving money somewhere by moving elections over to the capital budget. Can you give me a number, and then that's it for me, Mr. Chairman?
Through the chair, Senator McKinnon, it's not a savings. It's just to stabilize in an ongoing basis. The operating budget is to have that as a distinct capital project in the years when during elections, because it's an every year up and down, every other year up and down appropriation. We thought it would be better placed in the capital budget. It is a proposal. It's not a savings. It's just the cost. Any of the statistics we showed about the percentage savings in the governor's office normalizes for that, so it doesn't count that as a savings.
Any other questions or comments? I have an anonymous note from one of the members of the committee, and just think that what this would be if we didn't love you. No more questions or comments. Thanks, Pat. Appreciate it. What do we got in the future here? Do I have what our next meeting is?
Back this one?
Okay. So, Monday, let's see, Tuesday, Wednesday. So, tomorrow, we're going to have a presentation overview of the FY17 operating budget. That is obviously done today, so we won't be doing that. Teal Oh, I had you. I'm sorry. Yeah, that's for David. David's going to come and present tomorrow. And then Friday is canceled. So see everyone tomorrow at 9 o'clock. Yes, 9 o'clock. So without further ado, we're adjourned.